Greetings. This is Nigeria Anderson, and you are with UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Pastor Jason Hendrickson on the line with me. Has a new project out, Goodness Praise Break, and Pastor, now, I love it because this is a gospel house mix, which is one of my favorite genres. Give me a little background of how you became part of this gospel house mix. I love it.
Thank you so much. I was really always a fan of gospel house music and just house music, period.
Right.
But I never, ever did a house song. And when my friend Digital Native called me up, was like, hey, man, I got a song and I want you to jump on with me. And because of his legendary production and with different people in the industry, I was like, of course.
Right.
Without hesitation. And when he sent me the track, I was like, oh, man, this is something special. And we were able to jump on it. And once God puts his hands on something, even though it's great, it becomes greater.
Right.
And that song was really just a one-liner from the Apostolic Church back in the day, you know. Think of his goodness and what he's done for me. You know what I'm saying? We used to say that when we were kids, and to be able to go full circle and put that message and watch how the power of that song is transcending demographical boundaries and racial boundaries. I mean, there's people in clubs shouting and praising God, and some of them probably don't even know what they're doing, but the power of God, it just shifts every time that song comes on. So I'm just honored to be a part of it.
And I have to tell you, it's true, because when I first heard it, I was like, yes, yes, yes. Like, oh my God. You know, like, it's true. Like, you listen to the song, you can definitely hear the anointing on it. It's not just, you know, us saying that. When you listen, you're going to hear it. And thank you. So now, you know, you're a pastor. Did you get any feedback? Did members leave the church? Oh my God. Why is he doing this?
Oh, no, no, no. I've been pastoring now for 12 years.
Oh, okay.
And my approach to pastoring is I kind of strayed away from a lot of the traditional practices of pastoring because I always felt the need to teach and talk and preach to people from their humanity, nothing else. Because I think when we start, you know, elitism and sexism and classism in church and, you know, this clique can do this, you lose so many quality people. But if you just give people the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, no strings attached, just straight Bible.
Yeah.
It kind of allows practicality to come into the culture of your church. And, you know, me being a professional musician, my church knows that I've shared stage with several secular artists, and I would do it again.
Right.
I would perform in places that the average pastor or gospel artist are afraid to go. But the Bible says if the gospel be hid,
come on, sir,
that are lost. So I don't want to just keep the message that God gave me in the four wall structure of the church. We have to go out because they're not coming into where we're at if we don't go get them. So, you know, that's just my part of my ministry, to use music as a vehicle to get people attention. And then once I have their attention, I give them the gospel. And that's how we've been catching fish out here. So no fallback, nobody left out of the ministry because of this.
I love it. You almost made me fall out the chair on that one. No, for real. Like, let's stop playing. I love that we didn't get saved to be punks or timid or, you know, just forget that there's still a world out there that needs to know Jesus. All right, let me hold on.
Absolutely.
Let me hold myself together. All right, so you play, you play instruments, you play drums. Tell me how you got into playing drums.
Well, I started at about 4 or 5 years old, banging on my mother's pots and pans. And, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, every black family had those big wooden spoons and forks hanging on the wall in the kitchen. I used to climb up and take those down. And for some reason, you know, most parents would have told their children, stop making all that noise in my house. My mother never did that.
Wow.
She just let me bang on the pots. And eventually, it turned into me really loving music and loving the drums. And I used to go to the church and break the fan and take the fan sticks off and make those my drumsticks.
Oh, my goodness.
Until they got tired of me breaking the fans in the church. And then the drummers gave me some drumsticks, and I just started practicing and just waiting for my turn. Because, you know, in every church is 35,000 drummers.
Right.
Everybody plays drums. Everybody that plays organ, sing, they all started on the drums. So I would just wait my turn, and, you know, they treated me real bad because I was a little guy.
Aww.
They would kick me off in the middle of the song and all that. And I said, but you know, one day I'm going to be better than all y'all. They were like, oh, Jason, shut up. And then next thing you know, I'm touring the world.
I love
playing drums, and you know, the rest is history. So God had his hand on me since the age of 5, and I'm still doing it to this day.
I love it. How did you connect with Bishop Hezekiah Walker and the Love Fellowship Crusade Choir? Can I say it all together?
Crazy story. We were at a church in Brooklyn called the House of David. Mm-hmm. Right on New Lot and Hendrick. I remember it like it was yesterday. And at the time, I don't know if you remember, there was a surge of when all the top gospel musicians were leaving the church to go play R&B music. And all of Bishop Walker's musicians, Stanley Brown, Gerald Haywood, Teddy Riley, and Guy came and snatched all of them up.
Wow.
So me and my cousin Long, we used to, you know, practice to Bishop Walker's music all the time. So we were sitting at House of David, and Love Fellowship was the guest choir. They had no musicians. Bishop Walker gets in the mic and says, are there any musicians in the audience that know my song, I'll Make It? I elbowed my cousin Lauren so hard, I said, let's go. And we ran up there, and we played for Bishop Walker, and then he invited us to rehearsal that week, and been with him ever since.
I love it.
And that was over 20 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Man, that's some good stuff. That's a good story, too. And I like to hear things like that he would give somebody a chance, that time and opportunity, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And if we could just keep doing that and esteeming one another higher than ourselves, then we'll keep growing and prospering in this industry.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned you worked with secular artists as well. So we got Mr. Mm-hmm. Cheeks on there. We got legendary Faith mm-hmm. Evans on there. Did you mm-hmm. tour with them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I toured with them because one of the guys that played for us, that played for Love Fellowship, a young man by the name of Donovan, him and Faith are best friends.
Okay.
Even to this very day, they're the best of friends. And he got, of course, he got the job as an MD. He called me. He's like, hey, man, you know, we got some dates with Paul and Faith. You want to do it? Like, are you kidding me? And, you know, we went and did that. And then we got the call to go to Lost Boys. And then after that, we got the call to do Cannabis, which was a rapper that was signed like right under the Lost Boys. But he made the drastic mistake of battling LL Cool J.
Yeah.
And he put out a diss record on LL Cool J. And when LL Cool J responded, that was the end of Mr. Cannabis.
Right.
We have not seen or heard from him since. And I'm still upset with him because we had a 15-city tour.
Oh,
and
man.
I said, man, why would you open your mouth and go against LL, man? The tour got canceled, everything. It was horrific. So, yeah. And that's when I made up my mind. I'm going back to church.
Oh, I love it. That's a great story. That's a great testimony. And upon your return, you wrote some songs for Marvin Sapp, who I absolutely love. I need to get him one. But yeah, I mean, that's an amazing voice. What was that? How did that even happen? How did you connect?
That was some years later, because after I finished playing with Cannabis, and we did one show. We did the Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien. We did the Conan O'Brien show, and after that, everything was canceled. I moved to Europe. I relocated. I left and went to Europe. I went on tour with a lady by the name of Queen Esther and the Harlem Gospel Singers.
Okay.
And I went over there, and that's when the Lord told me I would write songs, and that's when I wrote my first solo project. Everything over in Europe. And when I got home, I had the master copy of my album, because every time I do a song, after I finish it, I send it to my bishop. I'm like, tell me what you think. And him and Marvin Sapp were really cool with one another. And Bishop Sapp came to Brooklyn to preach one night. He invited my bishop, and my bishop called me and said, get dressed, we're going to hear Sapp. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, cool. You know, I worked with him when we did Live in Atlanta at Live at Morehouse when he was with Commission. But I was just a kid. We didn't really interact back then.
Right.
So, you know, we go hear him. He preaches the house down, and we get in my bishop's truck to go get something to eat. Now, mind you, this is the master copy of my album.
Uh-huh.
The only one.
Okay.
He has it in the truck. Marvin Sapp gets in the truck, and my bishop turns the music up real low. He's playing it real low. And we driving, because now we taking him to go get something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And Bishop Sapp was like, yo, who's this? And he was like, this is Jason. And Marvin Sapp said, give me that CD. And I said, no, you can't have it. See, that's my, my bishop elbowed me and said, shut up. Shut up. And he gave Marvin Sapp the master copy of my album. And I was just so upset when I was like, yo, I can't believe you just did that. Like,
right, right.
That's my master copy.
Right.
What are you doing? And this is when Bishop Sapp was doing How Sweet the Sound, the tour, How Sweet the Sound.
Okay.
So he goes back to Grand Rapids. He gets back to New Jersey like 2 weeks later. He reaches out to my bishop. He says, tell Jason to come meet me in New Jersey. He gives me VIP tickets. I go, I arrive at the arena. They take me straight to his dressing room. When I open the door to his dressing room, he has his laptop open. He's singing every song on my album. He knows all the words.
Wow.
He knows all the songs. He's in the dressing room going crazy. He's like, yo, I want this one, this one, this one. He took four songs off of my album.
Wow.
And put it on his. But when RCA realized it, it was like, yo, who's this guy, Jason and Kenny Black? Because Kenny Black is my my production partner.
Okay.
He's like, yo, who are these two kids? Why do they have four songs on the record?
Mm-hmm.
And they took two songs away from us, and we got two songs played. We wrote a song called Wait and More Than a Conqueror, and Bishop Sapp just fell in love with us, and then he does the next project. Same thing. He was like, man, y'all got something. He sent him something, a song called Do Me Like You Do, and he loved it, and he recorded it, and we've had a great relationship with him since, so that's how that happened. And it's so important that people understand aligning yourself with leadership. Because sometimes we only want to glean from our pastors in church. But if you're blessed to have the ability to be around leadership outside,
mm-hmm.
because this happened on downtime.
It's right. Like
church, this was personal time. But because I was able to listen and follow and be in the area of my pastor, I got blessed with something that changed my life.
My God.
Changed my drive. Changed where I live.
Jesus.
That was before streaming, so Bishop Sapp was doing some crazy numbers back then.
Right, right.
It was life-changing. Seriously.
Yeah, yeah, no.
So I thank God for those opportunities.
Man, I'm blown away. That's it. Now, you're also author. Tell us about the books.
Yes. Well, I have one book I wrote by myself called You're Not My Daddy, Guidelines to Becoming a Successful Stepfather, on which I share my failures and my victories of being a stepdad.
Okay.
My daughter is 32 now.
Okay.
I don't even call her my stepdaughter anymore. She's my baby. That's my
right,
daughter.
Right, right.
And I got blessed to be in her life since she was 6 months old, and I raised her whole life. Then I have two anthologies that I'll call. The first one is called Race to the Ring, which is an inside look at the heart and mind of men regarding marriage and getting married and why they want to get married, why they don't want to get married. The book is off the chain. That book hit the number one position on Amazon national and international bestsellers list.
Wow.
And then we followed up with the next one. He married her and played me.
Mm.
And we, again, it was about eight of us men that explained why we choose the women we choose and why we don't choose the ones we don't. It's very, very, very touchy. But it is the heart of men.
Right.
Talking from our perspective, uninterrupted, no repercussions, just transparency. The Lord blessed that one to hit number one on Amazon, national, international as well. So we We're just blessed to have the favor of God on what we're doing, and we don't take it lightly. We really honor God for what he's doing.
So in all of this, the call to pastor is in the midst of it all. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, you know, your style of being a pastor, your creativity. You did not push it to the sideline. And I love the diversity. You even have a clothing line. Talk about that. How did you get inspired to get into the clothing line business? Pastor, you are booked and busy, okay? This is all I got to say. You up and stuck, okay? Like, I just had to let that out, okay? I'm sorry.
The Lord is kind.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is probably the best story of all. My clothing line started from a definite public beef with another pastor. And it wasn't my altercation. It was my bishop got attacked on Facebook from another bishop. He said some very derogatory things about my leader. And, you know, I am like the Peter with my leader. I don't really play around when it comes to life. You know, I will take it there in 2.2. It don't take much.
Right, right.
And, you know, this guy did what he did, said what he said, and I went to war. I was like, yo, all right, this is what he's doing. So I'm going to say, I had pictures, I had emails, I had all kind of evidence. And I said, now I'm going to send this to his bishop. But before I did it, I sent it to my bishop. And I said, look at what I did. And I'm getting ready to send this to bishop, .. And my pastor said, the Lord said for us to be quiet. Mm-hmm. I said, no, he didn't. He told me to be quiet. You ain't got to say nothing. I got this.
Right.
My bishop told me, shout out to my pastor, Bishop Dowhill. I love him to life.
Okay.
He said to me, if you send that email, it's over for you. You're done. I was like, what? He said, I mean it. If you press send on that email, it's over for you. And I said, all right, I'll listen to him. I didn't send it.
Right.
That Wednesday night, I'm in my pulpit teaching Bible study.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord says to me in my pulpit, if you think someone is saying anything negative or derogatory about you or your leader on social media, hashtag all things. I'm like, what are you talking about, God?
I know.
Now, hashtagging in heaven, like, how do you even know? Like, what are you talking about? I know you're the all-knowing God, but hashtag? And I was like, all right, Lord. So I start hashtag all over social media, on Twitter, Facebook, hashtag all things. I'm making, you know, just all things. Because everybody knows what's going on.
Right.
And I'm just hashtagging all things. And everybody starts catching on to it. And I said, what would happen if I put this on a t-shirt?
Right.
Did it. It went crazy. Hats, hoodies. I mean, it just went crazy. Next thing you know, all these celebrities started rocking my hoodies and t-shirts. I have clients from Best Buy all the way to Kuwait. I've never been to Kuwait.
Right.
Ever. Never thought about going to Kuwait. Right. And people all over the world start rocking my clothing line. And the Lord said to me, if you would have responded, that momentary satisfaction from exposing that other leader would have been your reward. Instead of you now going into year number 5 of your clothing line.
My
which is
God,
now
grace.
All over the world.
Mm-hmm.
All over the world. So the lesson for all of us is this. You are connected to leadership. It is better for you to listen than for you to emote and be impulsive. Because if I did not submit to my pastor and what he told me, the Lord told him to do, I would have blown something that has changed my life. And it went from just a simple hashtag to now I have a brick and mortar store. Now I have an online store. Now I have a robust dessert line that has been birthed out of the clothing line.
Wow.
I mean, 7 restaurants. It's just crazy, the life that I'm living right now, all because I did not disobey my leader.
You know, I always say, it's better to obey. What does the word say? If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the fruit of the land. That's all. It's real simple. Well, I better hashtag don't complicate Jesus. That's one of my favorite sayings. All right. Well, if you need a sister line, you know, we could do hashtag don't complicate Jesus.
I'll just do it.
That's good stuff. Man, I love all your testimonies. I love you living your best life and just, you know, being obedient and hearing from the Lord. You know, that's key. That's really key. And the reason is that God tests. He tests. People forget this, but he tests the mind and the heart of the righteous. And so sometimes, right, like you're saying, we get emotional. But if we do have leadership, we have to go to them and seek their counsel. Because the counsel of many, you know. But, okay. So, I tell you, we can go. Doing what you're doing, and you're doing it well. You're doing it in decency and in order. Because everything has been, when I did this, I sent it to my pastor. I spoke to this person. I've did these collective things, not on the whim of, I'm just going to do it. What advice do you have to a younger pastor coming up right now? What advice would you give them? Because, I mean, you are a perfect example for someone getting into ministry and not looking at it from just the brick and mortar.
Yeah. I would tell them to make sure that you are submitted to someone that understands their assignment to you. The thing when you have people coming behind you and that you're covering, if your leader doesn't understand this, you're under the wrong leader. My assignment is to complete you, not to compete with you.
Right.
And when I don't understand that as a leader, that's how the spirit of Saul creeps in. Because I have to make sure that my sons and daughters in ministry understand my mandate for them is to be greater than I am. But I'm going to set the bar so high that you're going to have to work hard to do it. But that's the way that God wants it. You're supposed to be more than I am. You're supposed to go further than I've gone. You know, and if I don't help you achieve that, then I failed as a pastor. So I would just say, make sure it's someone that you can submit to and someone that you can, you know, handle seeing them with their hair down and seeing both sides of it. Somebody that you can respect and that respects you. And go after God's plan for your life without fear.
Right.
I have no fear to do any and everything. I am not afraid. It doesn't matter if I have experience or not. I mean, I put it out in the air about 3 weeks ago that I wanted to start acting. And just today, I just got back in from my first movie role today.
Exclusive. This is exclusive. Yes, breaking news. Yes, breaking
people,
news.
It is. Yes, it is. Because people need to know, sis, that we're under open heaven.
Come on. Tell
them. Anything can happen.
I love it.
Anything can happen for the righteous. And righteous does not mean perfect. It means to be in right standing with God.
That's right.
Because just because I'm righteous doesn't mean I don't have flaws.
Right.
Doesn't mean
right.
I don't have proclivities. But what it does mean is that I've tapped into the advocate I have with the Father, Jesus Christ. And when I do fall, his blood gives me strength. His name gives me strength to get back on my feet and reclaim my place in the kingdom. And that's what happens when you tap into your purpose. You develop tunnel vision. I'm not looking at you. I'm not competing against anybody. I don't want to do it like nobody else. I want to do what I'm assigned to do, because whatever my assignment is, there's been grace put on my life to do it. I don't want to do anything ungraced.
My God.
I'm gonna stop myself because I
know that it's okay, and we could. And you know what's so great? We can do that right here on today. But
come on,
Goodness Praise Break is out and available on all digital outlets. Please get it, especially if you're someone like me who works out in the morning, who walks. You don't have to listen to no other genre, you know. And you know what's so crazy? We're not trying to copy nobody. People have copied us. Wealthy people, in all their encouragement and all their speeches, they are pulling scripture. And then we want to know how they rich and we not. when they're applying the scripture we listen to every Sunday. Now I'm gonna stop because I feel my help coming.
People don't understand this world is a principle based world, and there are certain biblical principles that will work even if you're not saved.
Exactly, but that's my point. They're using it, and we getting mad like we don't have the authority and the power.
We got it.
Right.
They believe the same thing we believe in some areas. You know, we call it tithing. They call it philanthropy.
Come on,
they
sir.
They understand that you have to give in order to get.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, I don't know why the people that are in the house, well, I mean, the scriptures declare that the children of the dark will be wiser than the children of the light. So I get it, but I'm just like, I gotta wake up.
Right, there's right.
No
not me.
For us to be struggling and trying to make it and just climbing up the wrong side of the mountain. What are you climbing the mountain for when God told you to speak to that mountain? We got it backwards.
Yeah.
And then you're going to climb up the rough side at that. Not the cool side, but you're going to climb up the rough side.
Oh, my goodness.
No, ma'am. Not me.
Not me neither.
I'm not coming off the mountain because Moses already did. Let that sit in.
Right.
We got to stay up on the mountaintop. Moses already came down, and he came down twice. Keep coming down off the elevated place that God has us.
That's right.
That's why my job is to preach from the pulpit, to pull you out of the pit, to pull you up to an elevated space where you can live a kingdom lifestyle.
I love it. Listen, tell them where your church is in case that, you know, someone's listening and they're enjoying this and they want to come to church. Yes. Let them know the name of your church.
Please, y'all. Restoration Tabernacle, the greatest church on the planet Earth. And when I started the church 12 years ago on Mother's Day weekend, the Lord told me, I don't want you to dress up because I'm sick of people that come to church with big hats and nice suits speaking in tongues and ain't speaking to each other.
Oof.
So my church is just a little different. We have knockout, rag out church, but we're doing it in our pims and our jeans and our hoodies and our sweatsuit. And we give God everything because God is concerned about your heart, not your garment. So we're located at 1338 Broadway between Gates and Quincy in the heart of Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn. If you're looking for a powerful church that won't keep you in church for 90 hours, come home. I'm waiting on you.
Amen. Amen. Man, God bless you, Pastor Jason. And as we say, we always say, once a key player, always a key player. And as you continue to grow and prosper, not only in your ministry, but in your entertainment ministry, please let us be one of your media partners and outlets to share that. So we're expecting you to come back once that film dropped. Don't think I forgot about that.
Yes, ma'am. I promise I will.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.